Well, if you're happy tonight, say amen. 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 This is a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. It really is. Now, I need to confide with you in something before I give you the scripture text. That Pastor this morning asked if I would preach, and it was this morning, just before the morning, it was before Sunday school.
Yeah.
Right after Sunday school. And always happy to preach, always. And especially in our home church.
Amen.
And that means a lot. Am I on? Okay. And everything was great until Pastor got up and preached. And he preached out of Psalm 100. Would you turn your Bibles to Psalm 100, please? Amen. There's nothing new under the sun, but we will be traveling in the shadow of the previous message and the ones that have been preached for generations before this in this wonderful passage of Scripture. And we are delighted, literally, delighted to be have the opportunity to be a part of the Florence Baptist Church and the wonderful testimony that our church has had over the years. You want to get yourself charged up, go on the website if you haven't. Just take a look and browse through. Good pictures, well arranged.
Amen.
and just a good... I believe, Brother Dana, are you not the architect of the... Okay, amen. And Brother Dana, you ought to thank him sometime. He's done a good job.
Amen.
He really is. Amen. All right. Psalm 100. And let's begin reading with verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come forth before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I thought about this passage, and we do not have a text. We're looking at all five verses.
How is this?
Am I on? I am on. Okay, this is probably getting weak because I've got red lights on both directions. Now, I'm going to do what the pastor does. I've always wanted to bend and throttle the neck of a microphone. Okay. When I heard this passage this morning, and I have been working on and developing a message on Psalm 100, and this afternoon I went home. We had leftover Thanksgiving dinner from yesterday because we had our children over, and our son Aaron is having surgery. He is having the same difficulty that Mrs. Storm is having. So they will be operating on his spine and going right through his neck. And so I don't understand all the ramification of that, but we had Edie prepared Friday and cooked all day and then cooked the turkey yesterday. And our daughter from Maricopa and her husband, Leah and Alfred and the girls, she has extreme allergies and was unable to come. So we had all that extra abundant dinners and we gave pies away. And we even drove to Maricopa and gave some of the items that she had made. My wife has something that she likes to do. She makes delicious cinnamon rolls. And she took we took those over to Maricopa along with some other items and homemade bread and so on, and had a drive. I don't know what it is, but when we got home last night, I was exhausted. And I told my wife today, I said, I cannot hardly ever remember being this tired. And I asked the Lord to help me when I got up to speak this evening, that he would energize me and do it so without a rabbit, you know, the energizing rabbit. And but the Lord has given me energy. And so I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach, especially while Pastor Storm is here. And I appreciate that trust. Now, this evening, the title, the title this morning was Thanksgiving, if I understand correctly. Does that sound right? Is that what it is, Pastor? Yes. This evening, no conflict of interest. The title is True Thanksgiving. Not that what he preached wasn't. I'll clarify that. But it's True Thanksgiving. Now, what do you think when you think of Thanksgiving? What goes through your mind? What just literally, what activities, what do you think about from the past? Some think Thanksgiving is a time for eating. And I like eating in Thanksgiving. I do. And I think everybody here does. Someone has said on Thanksgiving that you gobble till you wobble. And you slurp until you burp. You just drink up the soft beverages and just enjoy yourself. For others, Thanksgiving means football. Nothing wrong with that. And they stay glued to the television as one game is followed after another, while the women and the kids clamor to see all the parades, if possible. For still others, Thanksgiving represents a three-day weekend, a time for rest, a time to unwind, and a time to relax. Some things say and think that Thanksgiving, as looking at it as the day to prepare for the busiest shopping day of the year, literally. They look at that and think it's time to hit those sales and buy the presents for Christmas, which is just around the corner. For some, Thanksgiving is a time for family. It represents family reunion. And we ourselves, I concede, and my wife, that we did look at that yesterday. For some, Thanksgiving represents, accurately so, history. They think of the founding of our country, the Pilgrims, the Indians or Native Americans, and Plymouth Rock. For some, Thanksgiving is a religious day. For them, it's time to express thanks to God for all of his provisions and for his providence and for the peace that God gives us. And then maybe even go to church. Maybe even say an extra prayer of gratitude. However, true thanksgiving is much more than any of these. True thanksgiving is not just a day for food. It's not just a day for football. It's not just a day for fellowship and family. It's not just a holiday every fourth Thursday in the month of November. For God's people, every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day. And God's people said, amen. Psalm 100, as we look at Psalm 100, Psalm 100 is an Old Testament song of thanksgiving. It is subtitled as follows, and you may have that subtitle at the beginning of Psalm 100 in your Bible. A psalm of praise, or it may say a psalm of thanksgiving. Not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord with thankfulness, But it also describes to us the true nature of Thanksgiving. And there is a true nature for Thanksgiving. Now we'd like to, as we look in the 100th Psalm, we'd like to notice four qualities of true thanksgiving. Number one, it is found in verse 1 and 2. True thanksgiving, first of all, is public. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Boy, when David was king, he leaped for joy. He danced, and I mean literally, it was a spiritual, significant dance before the Lord. This dance that you hear and see going on today in our generation. It was to leap for joy before the presence of the Lord. And David would sing, and how he sang, and Pastor so eloquently brought out the fact that in Israel, across the nation, that eventually people sang 24 hours a day, literally. And the nation was a place of rejoicing. And when Solomon had the joy of becoming king, there were no wars. His father, David, had defeated all the enemies on behalf of and before the Lord and the Lord's people. So true thanksgiving is public. Now, how are we to take and express the four qualities, this first quality? First of all, we are to publicly shout to the Lord. In verse 1, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In the Hebrew Chaldean language, the word noise means to express with volume or shouting with joy. Secondly, we are to publicly serve the Lord. The psalmist also says, serve the Lord with gladness. That's why there's always opportunity for ministry in any good Bible-believing Baptist church, such as Florence Baptist. There are openings and needs for people to come forth and to serve the Lord, and to serve the Lord with all their heart with gladness. The word gladness used in this verse, originally this referred to the services in the Jewish temple. But today, however, we can see that thankful people are serving the Lord. My goodness, I have been at one or more of those churches that Pastor had mentioned this morning. When I was on the road in evangelism, we had a 40-foot Country Air fifth-wheel trailer. We pulled with a diesel truck, pickup truck, and we had four of our kids that Edie homeschooled them. And our kids would go to church 7 days a week, literally. Edie would play the piano in most cases, almost every service. But we were in church 7 days a week. We would go Sunday night to Wednesday, Thursday at another church till Sunday morning, and we'd go on to another. And working down north and South Carolina and back into Tennessee and so on. Well, we're to serve the Lord with gladness. And I thought, you know, I've been in church where you couldn't even hear a grunt or a holy amen in the service, literally. Nobody would ever respond to the preaching. And the invitation was given, and it was dry as dust, unless the Holy Spirit had opportunity, and I mean that with no reservation, to break the crust of a heart so that a person would respond to the gospel and get saved, or get right, as it may be. And then I've seen the floodgates begin to open up. You know why there's no gladness in many churches? Because many folks, their hearts have crusted over, and they have become silent beacons, and the light flickers, and there's no shedding of the gospel or preparing or preaching of the gospel, and no praise the Lord. And it's not a sin to say praise the Lord, or to say hallelujah as long as it's done in the spirit and not in the flesh. And then we are to publicly sing to the Lord. Notice in verse 2 that he says, come before his presence. But he says, come before his presence with singing. Now, I'll make a statement here. I appreciate it. My wife and I made comment after the service when we were home. Edie said, and music is her life. She loves music. She said, people are singing very well this morning, very good. And you were, and you are. But singing will tell you a lot about the life of a church by listening to the singing. If the singing comes from the inner man, the heart, then you can see that the joy of the Lord is present and it permeates into the hearts of everyone and it affects the spirit and the attitude and the environment of the local church, and it helps to prepare the service for the preaching of the Word of God. Otherwise, there'd be no singing in the service, literally. There is intensity in the singing when a church is alive with spiritual power. The second point of the outline is found in verse 3. In verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. True thanksgiving is not only public, but true thanksgiving is purposeful. It has purpose. Now, here's some thoughts. When we know who God is and we know who we are, we will give God thanks that He deserves and that we should take and share with Him. Notice, he says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Now, listen to this about the 10 lepers. And here's an example. It's taken from Luke chapter 17, verse 12 through 14. And as he entered in, speaking of Jesus, into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I want you to grab a hold of that for a moment. Jesus sent them to the priest so that literally he would publicly pronounce them to be healed and Christ in return would be glorified. When God does something in our heart, especially during this upcoming Thanksgiving season, true Thanksgiving, and the Lord does something in our heart, don't hold it back. Share it. Amen? It's a blessing, literally. We have a man, our neighbor, across the street. We have the good fortune of having a neighbor with a Kubota diesel tractor. And a Kubota is a pretty well-made unit. Obviously, I don't think it's U.S. built. It's not like a John Deere. But he's got the front loader, you name it, a backhoe, everything on this. And we had a carport installed alongside our house, and we had, some of you might understand what this is. We had ABS or ABC. ABC brought in, it's a mix of gravel and sand. I was told it's what they use in much highway building, and if they're going to put a basement in a house, they'll build this and moisten it, tamp it, then pour the concrete over. After they build the forms, it makes a very steady foundation. Well, he has been coming in, and we had 14 and a half tons of this stuff on a pile. I thought the pile would take up about half the size of our house. but I couldn't believe how small it was and how heavy this stuff is. But he's been distributing it, and I've been watering it, and I take our Jeep and drive it back and forth, and we compact it so that it's become very sturdy. When we get a higher wind out of that portion, we don't get dust anymore. So now we're going to need to do the driveway to stop that stuff. But when Jim, the last time he was over, he knows we go to church. We've been witnessing to him. And I said, Jim, my wife and I certainly deeply appreciate what you've done. About that time, my wife came out, and as she was heading over, I waved over to his wife. She waved back, I mean, just very energetically. And Jim, our neighbor, was alongside us. And I said, Jim, I said, it means so much. We're Christian people, and we love the Lord, and we thank the Lord that you are allowing him to use you and to help you. We needed help so badly on this. And he said, well, I'll be back. And my wife waved at her, and we're striking out and building up a relationship. We want to see people saved. These 10 lepers, they went before the priest publicly. God healed them. And the Lord Jesus was honored and glorified, and they were healed, listen, when they obeyed Jesus and went. And notice that that reading that we made in Luke 17, 12 to 14, that these lepers were happy. They were happy. You'll be at your happiest when you are truly thanking the Lord from the heart. And that is what true thanksgiving is all about. Notice verse 4 now. In verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thirdly, true thanksgiving, not only is it public, not only is it purposeful, but in verse 4, true thanksgiving is passionate. Now, a thankful people are expressive people. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, the psalmist writes, and bless his name. Now, let's take a little bit closer look at verse 4 just for a moment. Looking more closely at verse 4, we may see three things. First, we are to enter into his gate with what? What does that say? Somebody just tell us. Shout it out. Thanksgiving, right. Secondly, we are to go into his courts with what?
Praise.
With praise. Amen. I mean, that's audible. You know, those are the things that tend to mingle with and blend with revival, literally. And thirdly, we are to be thankful unto him and what? Bless his name. Amen. So thankful people are expressive people. God's people are to be expressive. One of the things I've noticed when the food bank is in process after one of the services, I've just kind of just walked and meandered around and listened a little bit. And I hear people telling people about the Lord. People in our church talking to someone maybe they've never seen before. And praise the Lord. And this morning, a young lady of whom I've not ever had the opportunity to talk to before, she came forward, raised her hand, came forward at the invitation. And one of our altar workers had the joy of leading her to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nancy, thank the Lord for you and your willingness and your thankful, true thankful spirit of the Lord Jesus. So, second thought, and that is true thanksgiving is passionate. Thanksgiving is both an attitude and it's an action. You can't divide the two. True thanksgiving, first of all, comes from the heart. It's not an outward, well, look at me and look at this. It comes from the heart. When we consider all that God hath done for us, the Holy Spirit will lead us into an attitude of gratitude, literally. And then the third thought is when we have the right attitude, we express our thanksgiving with action. And here's what happens. We become passionate. Passionate. I heard a phrase once in The Sword of the Lord. It was Dr. John R. Rice. And he would use this phrase, and many of the people during his generation were the same, having a passion for souls. And I tell you, that got a hold of me. It literally did. The first message I ever heard Jack Hiles preach, I was a student at Midwestern Baptist College in Pontiac, Michigan. And it was sitting in the service with my family when Jack Hiles was preaching at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I remember he said, now the title of the message this evening is Fresh Oil. And I thought, my goodness, it was indelible. And it was about having a passion for souls, a passion for others, a passion for your church, a passion for Jesus, to love the Lord, and a passion against sin, and a passion for righteous living. And that is what true thanksgiving is. It is being passionate. And fourthly, and our last point is this. True thanksgiving is perpetual. So we have it's public, it's purposeful, it is passionate, verse 4, and in verse 5, it is perpetual. Notice in verse 5 what it says. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Grab a hold of that. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. The truth. The truth shall set you free. Amen? Now, let's notice just a couple of things. First, notice three perpetual attributes of God. Number one in verse 5, God is always good. Always. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is, what does that say? Good. What is God? He is, say it loud. He's good, that's right. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. Every good thing in our lives, our faith, our family, our health, our happiness, it all comes from God. Amen. Now, listen to James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we have here, God is good. The second, His mercy is everlasting. That means that it's without end because it's eternal. God's mercy will last as long as God is. Did you grab a hold of that? Somebody one day at the altar, by the way, I said, now are you saved? They said, well, I hope so. I said, do you know when you got saved? Yes, I know I got saved. And I said, what kind of life did He give you? Started fishing in the pond a little bit with them. And they said, well, He gave me eternal life. I said, that's right. When will eternal life end? Never. Eternal life, salvation, is as good as God is. Amen? And it's eternal. Now, notice the phrase and the word is in verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Now, I want you to grab a hold of that word with me just for a moment. Does that mean eternal? Yes, it does. It does. It means infinite from eternity past to eternity future. There's no change. Everlasting. Think on that. 6,000 years ago at creation, God is. Did you catch that? He's not bound by time. We're in time, not God. Now, He is in eternity present. And one day when Jesus returns after the rapture, at the 1,000-year reign when He sets up His kingdom, eternity is. He steps out of eternity into time for 1,000 years and leads this planet for the first time ever in the right way, unanimously. And when he judges at the white throne judgment, it will be in eternity future. And when the white throne judgment is over, and the dead that are lost are cast into the lake of fire, eternity future continues forever. With all of that done and said, there is another application that is absolutely 100% accurate and true. And that is this. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. The word everlasting also means in the Hebrew Chaldean language, it means continual or ever with us. Continual. Continual means there's no end of it. And ever with us means His mercy is always upon us. Always. That's truth, something we can thank the Lord for, and that would help to create true thanksgiving. Thirdly, we see in verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God will stand or shall stand forever. Now, with all of that in mind, here's our last subpoint. Because God's blessings are perpetual, means our gratitude should not be seasonal, like during times of Thanksgiving or Easter or Christmas or so on. It should be perpetual because God's blessings are not limited. He is merciful, do you understand? Amen? And so our gratitude should never cease. God's goodness, His mercy, and His truth are perpetual. Listen, they never have an end. I want you to grab a hold of this. One day in the new heavens and the new earth, you and I will walk with God unrestricted by this human body of clay, this flesh. We will walk sinless. We will see Him as He is, and He will talk to us as He has created us and saved us. And listen, for all eternity, we will learn one blessing after another. And I'd like to tell you that when you look at this precious word, His words, they are eternal. And in eternity, when He begins to unlock what appears right now to be the finite parts of the Word of God, He will unlock spiritual truth for us in the infinite. And we will take and bathe ourselves with, He is the Word, you see, He's the living Word. And we'll learn more and more and more about Him. I'd like to tell you every day, but I can't do that because time is different, you see. New heaven, new earth, the former things are passed away. Now, Lamentations, and by the way, God's goodness and His mercy and His truth, they're perpetual. Why is that? Because they endure forever. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and to 24 says this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Now, we have so much to be thankful for. So much. Listen. And for which we can be thankful. So we need to look deeply into our heart and into our soul for Thanksgiving, the season coming this year, and let's approach it with true thanksgiving. And God will bless you for it. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, just for a moment. Our Father, we are just so thankful for your word and your love and your kindness and your mercy to us. We ask that you'll bless during this brief portion of the invitation, and we ask that your will might be done. We ask that you be honored and that you be glorified. And Lord, we want to approach your throne and our service and our daily walk with you and our approach and service in the church that you have provided and raised up with true thanksgiving. We ask you to bless. May you be glorified. And Lord, please raise up people that will be strong in their testimony and their love for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name with our heads bowed. This evening, how many, by the raising of the hand, you would say, Brother Eccles, if I were to die today, I can honestly say from a clear heart and mind that I would be in heaven if I died today. I know that I'm saved. No one can take that from me. While no one's looking, would you raise your hand and just hold it up high just for a moment? You know that you're saved. You've been born again. You've accepted Christ. He's given you eternal life. Amen. Now, how about service tonight? Would you commit to perhaps a new and a more living way in your life to serve the Lord Jesus with true thanksgiving from your heart? And that the Lord will bless you and enable you as only He's able if you'll commit and say, Lord Jesus, I am willing to be used for you any way that you would see necessary. I ask that you'd use me. Would you raise your hand just for a moment? All right. All right, that's several hands. Now, Father, if there is one in this building this evening, the auditorium, that is here and they need a church home, we ask that you'd help them to perhaps make that decision. And we ask that you'd pour out a blessing upon each and every family, every home, every person represented tonight. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Excuse me. And God's people said, excuse me.